Good morning and welcome to the Atypical Metal Dad podcast. It is Tuesday morning. I don't even know the fucking date. September 29th. I mean, I literally never plan any of this. I have a loose thought of what I'm going to talk about in my mind, and then I just turn it on and record. So I guess that could be a good thing, but perhaps on the other end, it shows you, like, what the fuck would I listen to that for? There's really nothing there. It's just, really literally just someone going off the top of their head. Usually I do have a lot of stuff going on in my head. It's just a matter of whether anybody cares about it when I share it or not. But anyway, I thought today I would talk a little bit about something that's kind of crossed my radar a couple of times, especially recently. But I guess there's a nu metal revival going on, which I'll get into my feelings about nu metal, which are probably not as negative as most. But I guess still, even in spite of that, my question is why some things are meant for specific periods, and it's okay if as those periods fade, those things fade with them. So it had come across my radar a while ago. Like, you know, I had heard about Vain and their record Aerozone, and I had heard of it more about as a hardcore record, of course, but it had nu metal flavor to it, so from what I was told. And that nu metal flavor is actually sprinkled throughout. It's not just a little bit here and there. I mean, right on the intro, it really reminds me of the first song, I should say. Really, they have this little break that reminds me of the first full real Slipknot CD, not Mayfield Kill and Repeat, which technically is a real CD, but their first major label record, which is, I guess it's the number record, I don't know, whatever the fuck it is. You know which one I'm talking about. It's got Sick on it, of course. I got that, and so I guess I'll go back now. My history with nu metal is positive. I loved it. I mean, I have always accepted pieces of just about any genre if I like it, regardless of whether there are some image issues, which there certainly were with nu metal, and it's the same way with a lot of the metalcore that I like too. I like a lot of the older European styled metalcore where it's just really heavy. It's literally just metal and hardcore. But then, of course, there's offshoots of what's considered metalcore that are, dudes in mascara playing in a mall, which is fine. There's people that like that. I really don't care. It's just not what the image of it. Really, you have a tough time just wondering what's more important, right? The image or the music. So it kind of makes you question the authenticity of it. Me, I don't get that deep. If I like it, I can kind of overlook some of it. And I'm not really that involved with any scene anyway. So it's not like I've got any image to uphold. I just sit in my office by myself most of the time and listen to what I listen to. As part of that huge collection of old CDs that was recently returned to me, a large chunk of that is all of the nu metal classics. I've got a lot of, there's some that I'll absolutely still listen to. I'll still listen to that first Linkin Park CD. And I know that kind of got lumped in with nu metal because it technically was, but it was a little bit different. It was much more of a slight hip hop flavor, of course, than the others. The first Mudvayne, fantastic. We'll still drop that on the player every once in a while. But really, I mean, the only one that I think I would still listen to on a regular basis is Nothing Face. I always felt like they deserved more recognition than they got. I thought they were better than really all of the nu metal bands out there. I also thought they were somewhat unfairly lumped in with nu metal, partially because of their own image. I think they kind of latched onto it in an attempt to be kind of part of something and to get recognized for being what I thought was a much better band and having a much better sound than most of what was out there for nu metal. So, I mean, I saw them live in Providence. They opened up for a local band at the time called Kilgore Smudge, and this was back in probably the late 90s or early 2000s. They just came on, and I had never heard of them, and, the singer for the local band came up and said, "Hey, we played with these guys in Baltimore, and they fucking killed it. Pay attention to them." And I did, and I just thought they were incredible. Didn't really know, what the term nu metal was at that time, because it really hadn't matriculated into too much. This was really before Korn blew up, which kind of set the whole thing in motion. I'd kind of gotten my first taste of something that sounded different, though I didn't quite, know that it was going to turn into what it did. I just kind of continued down that track, and then Obviously Korn came on the scene and blew that whole thing right up. And that's where, good for them, because when Korn released their first record, it didn't sound like anything else. So you didn't necessarily know that it was going to start a whole genre, and you never do. It's kind of like when, Nirvana and Pearl Jam released their records. You're like, wow, this is different. These are great. I love them. You didn't know that there were going to be all of a sudden, 1,000 bands with flannel shirts on whatever, on MySpace at the time, I guess, if that was even a thing. And then, so you kind of saw the same thing with nu metal. A year or two, fast forward a year or two after Korn really started to blow up, and everybody's got those big braids and Janko jeans, and they're all playing the guitar the way that the guys from Korn did. And it just became a thing. So you can go see, if you went to see any type of a festival, which I was never that deep into it, I certainly wasn't going to go to Knotfest or anything or whatever the hell they had back at the time. But I did win tickets to go see Korn and Stain, and that was a fantastic show. But you kind of start to see, it's like, all right, well, all these bands look the same, all these bands start the same, and then you see that there's a slow decline, but they don't necessarily realize it. So I think after I'll say after Life is Peachy, my interest in Korn started to wane. I mean, their ability to put out good music, in my opinion, or at least what I liked, I should be cautious. I really have a tough time criticizing bands because I simply cannot play a musical note. So I, as opposed to saying to something, they lost it, or they say, my music has changed and the way I received it changed. So the way I responded to the music that Korn was putting out really after Life is Peachy just changed. I did really like Issues. I thought whatever that one in between, Follow the Leader, when they got a lot of that like techno stuff in there, I was like, what the fuck, man? I just didn't want to hear any of that. But there were a couple of really good tracks on that got really heavy. It was just the first CD of theirs that I was like, all right, I got to skip a lot of this shit. And then I bought like three or four of them after that. And honestly, most of them are in mint condition because I just didn't like any of them. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just something that's like, you're oversaturated here in the same type of music, the same approach to music, and it just eventually dies. So actually I'm going to back up one more step. I still listen to 36 Crazy Fists, Jesus Christ. I can't believe I'm remembering this. It's got At the End of August on it. Snow-Capped Romance. Thank you. Thank you to myself for remembering it. I'm kind of looking at my cube of records, and I'm thinking like it's right there. I just don't know. I just don't know the title, but that's a fucking banger of a record. So there was a lot of stuff like that I would consider never really bursted onto the scenes. That was probably maybe what you can consider a second tier act. They still obviously very successful, just not selling out, hockey arenas or anything like that. I mean, I thought that was a phenomenal record, and some of those that were kind of on the fringe are the ones that hold up the best today, because they may have been on the fringe because they didn't quite follow that blueprint. So a band like 36 Crazy Fists certainly goes into the scream and singing, chorus, verse structure, but they didn't have those, they didn't have that exact same bass sound that a lot of the other bands were going for. It's like, oh, we got to sound like Korn. Even I think about bands that I really did enjoy, and then I almost can't even listen to now. Like I'll give a band like Cold Chamber. I saw them, and this was all happening just a good few years into me really getting into going to see live shows too. So I was probably at this point in my early 20s. So I'd go see just about anything I could, and I remember going to see. And this was like after these bands had kind of made like their, what I'd call their big debut, playing at Ozfest one year, and it was like Seven Dust and Cold Chamber. They were pretty big second stage acts, at that time. They were, kind of like the up and coming bands on the second stage. So they had played a local show in Providence at a place called The Living Room, and it was, a $5 show, if I'm not mistaken. Could have been 10. I'm not 100% positive. But I've seen some good $5 shows, and I've seen some banger $10 shows. So even if it was $10, I mean, it was, for what it was a hell of a lineup. It was Power Man 5000, who I couldn't stand. I don't care whether they were doing their little weird hip-hop shit, whether they were doing their, hey, my older brother plays Rob Zombie shit. They just never clicked with me. But under them was Seven Dust and Cold Chamber. So, you know, that was before all of them had, I wouldn't say blown up, but became as big as they later became. I think Seven Dust probably became bigger than all of them at some point. But that was, I mean, that show, Living Room, wasn't huge, but it could hold a decent crowd. And that place was packed, and that was a fun show. I mean, Cold Chamber knew how to put on a great show. They played really well, and they fit that new metal. But it was new at that time, so you know, seeing them dressed up there in their makeup and doing their weird, you know, just kind of like robotic dance moves or whatever you could call them. And then, you know, the lead singer Dez, who's in what's the other band now? Devil Driver. He's a good front man. I mean, the guy knows how to sing, he knows how to scream, and he puts on a good show. So it was really enjoyable. So I kind of took off from there. I was like, hey, all right, this is just another offshoot of metal for me to get into. And I continued checking out a lot of bands in that genre. I've got, you know, even kind of, again, going onto the second level, like bands like Flaw, that I wouldn't say ever put together a really solid album, but each album had about three or four tracks that if they just put out like a five-track EP, it probably would have been killer. But it seems like sometimes you got to get up to that 10-track thing, and that forces some bands to throw some fluff in there. But I even followed him down into, you know, the singer for Flaw into his other band, Five Bolt Main. So, you know, I've had no problems jumping in and out of the new metal revival. But what got me thinking about it and really scratching my head, and like I said, I got the vein, and there was like, I get that the influence is there. I get that the sound is there. I get no cringe vibes from it whatsoever. Like, it's actually one of my favorite albums of the year. And it's possibly because of their approach. It's possibly because they don't look like they're like, hey, we're trying to bring new metal back. They just incorporated it as one of their influences. So if you want to incorporate, say, Converge as one of your influences, do you have to act, look, and sound exactly like Converge? And the answer is no. You don't have to wear your influences on your sleeve, in my opinion. But I've been seeing a lot on Instagram, a band on Earache being pushed called Tala. And there's obviously I would assume there's some reason why they're getting such recognition. It's because, you know, the drummer's father Portnoy. Jeff Portnoy, is it? I don't even fucking know. I don't listen to progressive metal, so that's one of the worlds that I've never really dabbled in too much. At least not traditional, you know, progressive metal. When it pokes its head into other genres, I'll do it. You got a little of that progressive technical death metal where they do a little bit more canoodling than you would expect in death metal. I can get behind that. But as far as listening to straight prog, it's just something that's never really crossed my radar. So anyway, you know, I see just about daily they're putting that. So I was like, all right, well, let me go check this out. And I'm like, this really misses the mark for me because it's too much of a, it seems to lack any utter originality. And the whole focus of it is, hey, we're a new metal revival band. It's like, okay, well, but what are you doing that's different with it? So, you know, I kind of try, but I listened to it. I wanted to see it, and ooh, you make that face where it's like, ooh, man, this is kind of making me squirm in my seat because every bit of it is exactly what the genre tired of. So I get that. Hey, there's some people that may not have been exposed to this. I mean, the sad reality of it is, and I think about this now, is like when I have a 17-year-old son, and unless I played this shit for him, he ain't ever heard it. It doesn't matter. He's all into hip hop and more power to him. I really don't care what music that kid likes. I think I've said it before that you know, he kind of gives me credit for expressing the importance of music. I've always had music on, and you know, it was always music that he didn't like. But we, you know, we shared and we go song for song, and he just expresses that it's an important part of his life. He's got it on when he's working. He's got it on when he's doing everything. So his tastes are his own. And someday I'm going to get that kid to do a podcast with me once he can get over the cringe and talk about I'd like to interview him and just bust his balls and make him squirm and start with questions like, hey, man, tell me what it's like having such an awesome father, just watching him not be able to keep his shit together for absolutely no audience whatsoever, mind you. But anyway, you know, so I'm listening to this and I'm like, you know, trying to do it with open minds. But then, you know, I go in and I watch the video and it's all of the same imagery, you know, from the new metal. It's just over the top. And it's not just, you can, this one's going to be tough. I'll probably, I got like, I think two subscribers. I'll probably lose them both here. This is the same type of over the top shit that bugs me about black metal. So I was just scrolling through Instagram because I've been, you know, waking myself up early in the morning to spend a little bit of time to myself to do shit like this, whether it be to listen to music, whether it be to clean a record, not for Instagram, just because it's the next one up to be played. You know, I'm trying to wake up early and do a little bit of stuff that I enjoy for myself so my day doesn't involve waking up, getting ready, and going to work. So, you know, I'm trying to do a little bit of stuff like that, so I completely lost my train of thought of where I was going with this. But anyway, you know, I come out here and I do my thing. So I'm spending a little bit of time on Instagram and I'm looking through, I think I got my train of thought back. I'm looking through Instagram and, you know, I follow a lot of black metal and, you know, just promotion type of places. Cause that's a great way to, it's a great way to, you know, reward people for sharing other, you know, music that you may not have heard. So, you know, there's a bunch of, I'm not exactly sure what you call them, but I'll just call them promotion pages where it says, hey, you know, there's a black metal band from so-and-so. And I was watching one and I'm certainly not going to name them, but it was just two dudes jamming in the forest. I mean, and this wasn't like one of those like, hey, we're trying to be cringy and over the top. But it kind of came, you know, guys are like freaking, he's licking a knife. He's making the mean faces. The other guy's making all sorts of faces when there's in like singing when there's no words. And I'm just looking at it. And I'm like, that's been done. There's absolutely nothing original about your show here. That's for sure. The music's debatable, but man, if I heard the music, I might have responded to it differently than seeing you two dudes in the snow, you know, with your face paint on, licking a knife. And where the fuck was the drummer? Yeah, I saw a guitarist and a singer. What, they got a session drummer? Is that guy staying warm somewhere? But you know, so I have a tough time with it when I see like what I consider to be genre tropes, for lack of a better term, that are used to their fullest. And in the black metal thing, I get that's part of what the genre was, and black metal is far more respected in the metal community than nu metal is. So I'm not comparing the two, but I just wonder at what point, like, you know, a lot of black metal fans will look and be like, hey, I mean, like, I get it, like, you know, the face paint's kind of a throwback, but is it really necessary anymore? And I guess maybe the answer is I don't fucking know. I mean, people weren't happy when Kiss took off their makeup, but you know, Kiss was a product in its own right. So I'm just kind of curious as to whether there's any people that kind of have similar thoughts to me about what this new metal genre is and or this new metal revival is, and if there's any merit to any of it just kind of poking its head. So, you know, I think I've actually got another record in my collection recently that kind of fit that same bill, as a band called Left Behind. Where it's, you know, it's, there's a lot of hardcore in it, but there's definitely some new metal in it. And I like it. I mean, it's got, the first song is really just a long ass hardcore breakdown. And I think if I'm not mistaken, the lyrics are left behind, motherfucker. There might be more to it after that. But it actually kind of reminds me of the first song on Nomad by Kublai Khan, where it's just essentially a breakdown and it just goes, son of a bitch. And I'm like, fucking well written, man. You know, I don't need too many words. Sometimes you just need a breakdown. But you know, listening to Left Behind, I hear a little bit of that influence as well. So I'm just not sure where it's all going to go, but I can't imagine that new metal is going to take off again. But you never know. I mean, people still love Slipknot. Slipknot, the Knot Fest is still going on, and that's where a lot of people will be exposed to these bands. So the reality is I'm not going to those shows for the most part. There's kids that were my age when I saw Slipknot the first time going to those shows, frankly, and they're going to be exposed to a genre of music like nu metal that they may not have heard, and they're going to enjoy the show because they haven't tired of it. So I guess there's a place for it. Probably not in my collection, but I am really, really shocked. Like, I know it kind of never went away, but it was really, really, persona non grata for a long time. And, grunge kind of went away from the mainstream, but new bands would come and go and play it. And I don't know. I don't listen to the radio, so maybe they've achieved some success, and maybe there is just a still a strong grunge presence. I don't know, but I really thought this would die. I really thought nu metal would never come back because some of the imagery was just so specific to that time period. Like, please don't bring Janko jeans back, but you never know. There's going to be some over exaggerated wallet chains, some purple long braids that are elastic shut, and we're gonna see the I guess he who forgets the past is doomed to repeat it, right? So anyway, I don't know. Check out Vane. Check out Left Behind. Maybe there's something there for you. I'm gonna stop this at 20 exactly.